Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. I am with Senator Mark Pote. He has been on my show before, and this is the second time. Senator, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
It's an awesome to be here. Awesome. You got beautiful country over here. Yeah. This is just terrific here in Putnam County.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. In your district, we'll talk about just a minute. And then, well, let's talk about now. You're from Middle Tennessee, and your district's changed because I know at one time you were representing Cannon County and a big part of Wilson, and now you've moved to a different spot. Where are you serving now?
Sure. So right now, I got all of Wilson County. And I got about 70,000 people in Davidson County.
Okay.
So if you kind of take from Wilson County, following 40 in, I got like the airport that going down towards Antioch area.
Okay. So there's a little something going on right now in the Tennessee Supreme Court concerning your Senate seat, not you as an individual, but you as a elected senator for the state of Tennessee. What's happening right now in the Tennessee Supreme Court regarding your Senate seat?
Well, this is a kind of a unique drama going on. It hasn't happened very often. And in Tennessee, this is like one of the first times this is going on. We have to redraw the lines every 10 years. And that's where I actually lost some of the rural counties and went into Davidson County. And in any time that you split a county anywhere in Tennessee and there's going to be a split where there's more than one senator, the numbers have to be sequential. So if we split Davidson County and the senators that are there right now, their numbers were 19, 20, and 21. The Constitution says that anybody else in there, they have to be either 18 or 22. Well, my number is 17. And I will tell you that part of the reason in this Tennessee Senate, if you are an even number, all the even numbers run when the president runs. So then if you're an odd number, you know that you're running with the governor. So we kind of know if you're even or odd, right, if you're running in the presidential or the gubernatorial. Well, they turned around, and when we drew it this way, we looked at the maps, and we said it made good rational sense to do it that way. And we said, well, boy, we're not in order. But this is exactly how the Democrats have done it, because the Democrats had been in control for decades, and they had done the same thing. They had divided up the counties, and they weren't numerical, and they weren't sequential. So we said, well, they've done it. They've got precedent. So we went ahead and filed that bill and ran that bill, and it passed. But it was taken to court, and the court said, nope, just because we're not following the Constitution, we got to readdress the situation. And we said, well, here's the precedents. Here's what it did. Here's the laws where it was passed. And they said, no, we're not going to accept it. And they did it. Then we had to appeal it to the three-court panel. We lost 2-1. Now we're in the Supreme Court, and we're waiting on them to rule.
Wow. That's a lot, right? I mean, because you're in 18th district now, right?
No, I'm in the
17th. So yes. You're not running this year then.
That's correct.
You would be running with the governor, which is 2 years from now.
Yes.
So it's not affecting an election for you per se, but it is affecting what goes forward, right? I mean, and what's the time frame maybe are you hoping to hear from the Supreme Court?
Well, we had kind of were anticipating we were going to hear the Supreme Court. We may have heard from it, you know, now, so we could perhaps be ready to have a special election going in with this election cycle. And that would just save the taxpayer money and so forth. However, it is it's a constitutional issue, and we want them to take the time, whatever they need to do, to give it the thought and hear all the arguments on all sides and then make the decision at that point.
So I'm curious, and you may not know the answer to this. You are a smart man, but I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. This is what happens. I have guests come in. They say cool stuff, and I think of questions. The election in August has already passed us. Would they still have a special election in November and then allow that to be the primary election, or would they let everybody just run?
Well, there's actually enough room and enough time frame, because a special election is a much shorter time frame.
Okay.
So they could have one, and it could be called for the whole primary could end up being just like 6 weeks, you know, or whatever. And then we just go right into the regular election.
Okay.
So there's still enough time to do that if that's what the Supreme Court chose to do. But if they want to wait until next year, they might just say we need to fix it before the next election in 2 years and have it adjusted right. That would seem to make more sense, because if we had to redraw county line or district lines, we have to be in session to do that. And that would mean that we'd have to come back into a session to see what options we might have at that point.
I'm just thinking. I don't know. Like, this wasn't caused by you, and you're directly affected by it, right?
I mean, that's correct.
I think it's an unfortunate situation that you've had to go through to maintain a seat that you were elected to, right? And put in the area by a federal law and a state law with redistricting. We have to redistrict in Tennessee.
That's correct.
And this has happened, and now it's a matter of a number, right?
That it is the wrong number, but it would be as well. So if they did say, I've got to run immediately, that could create some court challenges to say, I was duly elected for 4 years, and you can't cut somebody's short. You can elect somebody, you can add to their time, but you cannot by law cut it short. If we just change numbers, for example, the number 18, Farrell Hale's number, and if they just switched our numbers, then he's actually in a contested race as well. And the primary challenger would say, well, I've spent all this money trying to run. You can't say that it's no good now. Same thing with the Democratic challenger. You can't have somebody. And that would be a lawsuit. So we're looking at different thoughts going forward.
There's a lot of moving parts. I'm no judge, and I'm not paid to have an opinion, but I imagine if they don't rule in favor, right, and just say, let's give you the number you need and move on, they should probably just wait till the next, like the duly elected time, right?
Correct. Yeah. And I think if we're getting so close, that's probably what's going to happen. But I'm not in the judicial system. I'm in the legislative system. That's an entire different branch, and we know that they'll make up their own mind.
Yeah, that's right. That's very, stated very well, Senator. I'm telling you, I'm with Senator Mark Poti. This is good information so far. I hate that we're talking about this being in the Supreme Court where you're assigned a Senate district, but a number. But thank you for the information. Let's talk about this past session, and I want to talk about some other things. You got a really cool announcement about the Tabernacle coming to the State Fair in Wilson County in a couple of weeks, it's coming up shortly, actually. So I want to talk about legislative session, and you and I were talking before air. I'm going to see a lot more of you coming up in my new role as the executive director of the County Fish Association, and I saw you one time this past session because I started in the middle of March. My very first day on the job, I was at over there with you all, and I walked in. You were one of the first people I saw. You obviously spoke because you're kind to me, but you had no idea why I was there. And I could tell you were looking at me like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And then, of course, at that time, middle of March, there's a lot going on, right?
Yes.
Committees
yes.
are trying to get closer to wrapping up. They're not wrapping up, but get closer. And so I thought, he has no idea that I'm that I'm in the position. He has no idea I'm going to wear him out for the rest of my career. So let's talk about session. What were some of the accomplishments for you and some of the bills that you passed, that you sponsored, that got passed? What were some of those that happened this last session?
And it was actually a pretty good session because a lot of the bills that I ran, we were able to get passed. And I tried to run some of the bills early. And what I'm trying to do is actually cut down the number of bills that are run. So if I looked at it overall this year, there was only like 20-some bills that we ended up running, which I was very grateful for.
Right.
One of the bills that I worked really, really hard on is transportation. And I'm going to know, and it didn't pass, but I want to tell you how important this piece of legislation is. We are so short in our money in TDOT. It is unreal how long it will take us to maintain the roads and build the roads that we need. Now, we did end $3 billion, not this year, but a year ago, into our roads. So I'm so appreciative to the governor to put that into the budget. But that's going to be gone quickly. And we need a direct source of reoccurring money that's stable, that's indexed, so it'll keep up with inflation to make sure our roads are in good shape. So we've written a bill, and it's got a good shot of passing. We just got to get it all the way through. So what it's going to do is this. I'm going to say, if you buy a car, and you're going to pay a sales tax on that car, or you buy a tire, you're going to pay a sales tax on the tire, and you're going to use that on the road. So if you buy the tire, it's going to be used on the road. Or buy a car, it's going to be used on the road. Mm-hmm. So whether it be a diesel, whether it be a truck, whether it be electric, doesn't matter. This is a user fee that we're using for the roads, and I like that user fee because it's going to be helping to pay. Now, it's going into the general fund right now. And I'm saying, let's cap that amount of money. So whatever's going in there right now, which would be about $1 billion,
right,
and say the future growth, and if we're just looking at inflation, we went to fiscal review and they projected it would be about $42 million that would be future growth from sales tax. I said, it's not committed anywhere. take that $42 billion from here on and commit that yearly to TDOT. So this year would be $42 billion. Next year would be like $84 billion. The following year would be $128 billion. And it's going to grow into a substantial amount of money. Now, our entire budget is about a billion something from the state and about a billion something from the federal government.
Right.
So it wouldn't take that many years, and we would almost be doubling the state portion of our roads. It's stable. We're always going to be buying newer used cars or tires. It is user fee, and it's indexed because inflation is going to go up, and we will have that money growing for us as we go forward. That was the key piece of legislation I'm working on. It didn't pass, but I've already redrafted it going into next year. I can't file it until November.
Right.
But if I'm looking at the entire package, that was the piece of legislation that I really, really think we need as a state to move forward for our roads and infrastructure.
So, and I don't remember this bill, and I apologize. I don't remember the process it went through. Did it get to fiscal review and the question started rising then? Is that what happened?
It absolutely did.
Okay.
Now, and I met with the governor's office, and I met with the commissioner of finance, you know, that runs, I met with Jim Bryson, Commissioner Bryson. Mm-hmm. And he's, Mark, we love it. We love the idea. But we don't have the money.
Right.
You know, it's just been a very, very, very tight budget year. And he said, even if we liked this, not that we wanted to do it, it's going to be very hard to commit future money that we don't know where we're at when our sales taxes are flat. When right now this year we're short $500 million,
right,
and we still got a couple months to go to close out the session. And we're short, and the governor's office is saying we don't want to commit this money at this point.
Yeah, and that happens, right? And you've been a senator a while, and you went through that. But that does happen often. So I have Senator Mark Pote with me in studio here on Local Matters. This has Ben Rogers. We're going to get back to some more legislation when we come back, and an announcement that he has coming up the State Fair in Wilson County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Senator Mark Pote. He represents Wilson County and 70,000 people in Davidson County. Used to be DeKalb and Cannon at one time, right?
Yep.
And you were a state rep, too. I did not mention that before you became a senator. But we were talking about legislation this past legislative General Assembly session, and we talked about what you're working on for next year. What were some of the things that did pass? You only had 20-something bills, I think you said, which
yes.
is kind of low, right?
It is very low. It is very low.
But it probably allows you to work harder on the other bills, right?
Yeah.
So, but give me some more bills that passed that were success for you.
All right. So one of the things that we did pass was actually, I think, some of your folks helped with. And it is, if somebody wants to go get their license, we can actually do it for 2 years.
Sure.
And nobody likes to stand in line and to renew your license. You got to do it, you know, all the time. But we tried to make it as friendly as we can, so people can go in. If you want to renew your tags, you can do it for 2 years, not just one.
Right.
And I thought that was a good change for us.
That's a convenience for people, right? And
that's exactly right. So the more we can do it along those lines that we want to make it as easy as I possibly can for that. I will tell you that something else that we were working on is I'm very much trying to support for our teachers.
Sure.
Okay. And so one of the bills I actually ran, it was going to be a lanyard. And I'm going to tell you, if you just picture something that a lot of people, a policeman might have, but it would be on a lanyard. You have your picture on it. And so we wrote the bill that would say this: one of three things might happen in a school. And if I'm a teacher, one, and it could be that I'm in front of a child and that child is having a huge disciplinary action. And right now it's like, oh, he said, she said. But if they would take that lanyard and it would be, you push a button, and it would start recording the interaction between that teacher as well as that child.
Right.
And it would say, it also go at the same time to the SRO officer and to the principal. And they'd be saying, hey, there's a light going on. Somebody might need to come to this classroom so that teacher could be having that conversation with that student. Now, that's going to be very powerful because they can go when the parent comes and say, hey, this is what happened, and it's not the teacher said this and the child said that. You're going to say, this is literally what happened. And if the SRO officer needed help, they could do it. Or if the principal did, they'd have that proof or whatever. The second button would be this. If there was a medical emergency and, look, somebody's choking. They need medical attention right now. Mm-hmm. You'd hit a second button, and that button would go to the school nurse. It'd also go to the ambulance.
Sure.
So we know that there's a medical emergency going on right now, and it would be GPS tracked. So if I'm in the playground, I'm not in my room, they know that's where I am. And then the third button was going to be the most critical button. And this is like an emergency type button. And that would have been if there was a shooter,
right.
If there was something along that line. And by doing that, if they had it where they could shoot it, the police would see what the shooter looked like, see what kind of gun that they had, see how many kids are in the room. They would know at that point exactly what's going on. Nobody has to do it. It's just hanging there, taking these pictures, and it would be instantly there and put to 911, put to law enforcement at that point. So we were running that bill. That bill was an incredible bill, and we got it partway through, and the Department of Education said, we like it so much. We're funding it right now. We did it by policy, so schools can apply for that in what they call a safety grant.
Right.
So now it's up to a local school board, but there's several things they can do in the safety grant. They can say, you know, I want to put bulletproof glass on my windows. I want to put doors changed. I want to do gun detectors on, you know, coming in. And each school system will have to make that decision what's best for them. So that was probably one of our most important bills that we put to protect our children and protect the teachers. And I'm going to tell you that we had a lot of good opportunities for that. Something else we said was I wanted to make it clear in marriage, and that's going to be this. Right now, the law it was silent on whether we could or couldn't marry somebody if you were in a position where you had the authority to do it. It didn't say you had to, but it didn't say you couldn't. So we made it clear that if anybody did not want to perform that wedding ceremony, they didn't have to. And a good example would be like this. Now, you know, because I'm a senator, I could actually perform marriage ceremonies.
Right.
But just picture if my daughter and had gotten a divorce, and her ex-husband is marrying and comes to me and says, I want you to marry me and this person that I was running around with, whatever.
Right.
And I said, I don't want to marry that.
Right.
But it was kind of unclear.
Right.
And that way, anybody that had that authority, for whatever reason, they did not have to perform that marriage ceremony.
Keeps them out of a lawsuit, right?
That's exactly right. And we just thought that was kind of good common sense.
Well, how many bills do you see a year or you're part of that's cleanup stuff, like that makes the language more clear so people understand it, where there's gray area? I mean, you spend a lot of time on those things, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it because it's going to be something unintended consequences. We passed that law, and now we got to come back and take a look and say what is it? And there's a good example right now. We passed a law saying that we don't want school systems giving medical advice to the students without the parents knowing about it. Well, so some school systems have taken this to the extreme and said, well, we're not going to give them an aspirin. We're not going to give them an ice. You know, if you got a headache, we're not going to put ice on their head because that could be considered, well, that's not what we were anticipating them doing. So, you know, now we got to go back and clear up that legislation to be a little bit more specific because, look, if somebody scraped their arm, put a Band-Aid on that. You don't have to call the parent and say, hey, should I put a Band-Aid on your child because they're bleeding?
Common sense, right?
But so we've had some school systems come out and say, you know that bill you passed? Now our nurses don't want to do that because they would feel there's going to be a lawsuit because they put the Band-Aid on the child without getting parental permission first. But it was made so they're not going to give birth control. They're not going to do sex change things. We had that intent, but the way it was written, they want some more clarity on it. So that next bill will be a cleanup bill.
Yeah, and that, so if, from my position with working with county officials and those four that I support or advocate for, they have a lot of things they come to us are cleanup bills, right? And
yes,
the intent was not, like you said, it's unintended. There's no bad intent when the bill was passed. It was just not clear. And so our legislative committees of all the affiliates I work with, they get together and say, hey, this bill is a great bill for us, but it's confusing. We need to clean it up so we can send it to a senator or state rep to file and support and sponsor. And you, I know just the 3 or 4 weeks I was in there, that session with you, I saw a lot of the cleanup bills. And it passes through. I mean, it's usually simple stuff that passes through. So there's you just show me one more that you were one
that was county officials. So now with your new position, So we're very much involved in and doing that. And here's the role that every legislator is going to have their own kind of prism that they believe in. They're going to be voting for and so forth. And one of mine is I want the locals to make as many decisions as they possibly can.
Sure.
So I want to give the county boards, I want to give them as much freedom as we possibly can to let them run their own local governments. There's got to be some parameters that they stay in. And you don't want to go into one county and it's drastically different than another county and laws and such. But for the most part, we're going to be running bills along those lines. Now, something else, Ben, I want to just share is what committees we're on dictates a lot of what bills we run on.
Yes.
So as an example, this year I was on state and local. So I would probably run more state and local type bills. And if I'm on state and local again, I'll run an election type bill, okay, because it would have to come through me. But if I'm on, let's say, commerce, I'd run maybe more utility bills or workers' comp bills, something like that. So what bill, what committees we're on makes a difference at the same time.
That state and local is going to be my best friend, so you're going to hear a lot from me. I'm with Senator Mark Pody. He is here with me, Ben Rogers, at Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Senator Mark Pody, serving 70,000 people of Davidson County and Wilson County. Senator, thanks for your time today. It's been wonderful catching up. It's been a while, but learned a lot about some of the legislation that you were part of this past legislative session. The biggest thing you all do as elected a senator and state reps and in the General Assembly is pass a budget. So what was your thoughts on the budget you all passed this year?
All right. So, and Ben, it's the only constitutional thing we got to pass as well, is that, and that's what separates Tennessee from some of the other states, as well as the federal government. Ours has to be truly a balanced budget. Yep. That means we're going to be matching up reoccurring revenues with reoccurring spending. Now, our budget went down substantially. Last year, it was $62 billion. This year, it's $56 billion. So we took and lost $6 billion. Now, a lot of that was federal COVID money.
Right.
Okay, so that ran out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been very good when we were receiving that money not to overspend, to make sure that we spent that money correctly. And we have a very, very, very good way that we're doing it. But at the $56 billion, we're still a little bit short going in. Now, fortunately, we've got enough money in our rainy day fund, and we got money back in for 10 cares, and we kept a couple of like $1 billion in our checking account. So we had that money anticipating this shortcoming. And I got to tell you that I'm going to a convention later on this year where I'm going to be meeting with a lot of other legislators from across the country. And every time I go, they come and they say, how do you do that in Tennessee? How is Tennessee the lowest tax state or one of the lowest tax states in the entire nation? We have one of the lowest taxes that we put, and we still have these surpluses. We still have it where we don't have to raise taxes. In fact, we cut taxes again this year. Even though we were short, we cut over $1 billion in taxes, mm-hmm. and that's for the businesses. Now, that was potentially to fight off a lawsuit, but we were able to do that and work that in.
Right.
So that's incredible. Just really quick, where does the money come from? You know, we are a sales tax state, and that means everybody pays their share. If you go out and you buy a lot, you know what? You're going to pay a lot.
Right.
But if you don't pay that much, you don't buy that much, you're not going to pay that much. So it's kind of a fair tax that way, where everybody gets to come away that way. And we did still, even though we had this kind of a shortcoming, we found a way to put money back into our rainy day fund again. So the rainy day fund grew, not shrunk, when we're going through a tight budget year.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you, now you've got local people right here that are in this county, and they are staunch, fiscally conservative people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just me or one, but you got people, you know, Ryan Williams is here, Paul Bailey's here. You got people that are watching this budget to making sure it is a good, balanced budget. And Tennesseans can be very proud of that.
Yeah, for the last several years, at least for a while, probably since 08, 09, when, you know, we had the recession since then, really, and even then, the state balanced their budget. They have to, like you said, by law. but they've been able to continue services and continue with the infrastructure you talked about earlier. It's impressive how the legislature and the administrators for Tennessee get together and make this budget work. I mean, as an accountant, as a budget finance specialist in county government, I enjoyed watching it. Of course, I'm a nerd, but I enjoyed watching how you all do those things. So a great budget for Tennessee, and y'all continue to work on that. I know one of the reasons you're here today is you get excited about things in your community, and you're serving Wilson County. And guess what? The State Fair, Tennessee State Fair, is in Wilson County. It used to be in Nashville, and they finally realized that the Wilson County Fair was the best fair around, right? So they just made it the State Fair. And so you've got something really special that you're doing there this time. What are you doing, Senator, at the State Fair this time?
Oh, this is absolutely incredible. So, you know, the Tennessee State Fair is in the top 25 in the nation. I mean, of all fairs and gatherings, we'll have over 750 people, 50,000 people come there, you know, 750,000 people. So a year ago, a guy had kind of put it on my heart to build a life-size representation of the Wilderness Tabernacle. This is what Moses was building in Exodus 25. God came and told Moses, I want a place to dwell with my people. And he told Moses exactly how to build that tabernacle for him to go. And I'm going to step back just a moment in this.
Sure.
And one thing that we've just finished is something called HJR 803, and that is where we've asked Tennesseans to spend the month of July actually praying and fasting to God. Mm-hmm. And we've been to all 95 counties, and we were here in Cookeville, you know, on the courthouse steps, and just having a chance to pray and so forth. And just saying, hey, we want everybody in Tennessee to know it. Well, this is kind of like the next step. So this is going to be an opportunity to have this in the State Fair, and it's going to be introduced to almost, you know, 1 out of 10 people in Tennessee come to the State Fair.
Right.
You know, so that's an amazing number. Now, they all won't go through this, but it is going to be a great opportunity where literally it's going to be exactly the measurements that God told Moses to build. People have gone to Noah's Ark in Kentucky. And it's the best representation of the Ark,
right.
You know. It's the same thing here, but it's going to be right here in Tennessee. And it's going to be where we got – a lot of people are going to say the best thing they know about it is Raiders of the Lost Ark, okay?
Right.
Okay? And Harrison Ford, well, this is what he was looking for, okay,
yep.
was this Ark. And that's exactly what's going to be in the State Fair.
That is really neat. I mean, and you said when you started out, it was something God put on your heart to do this, and I think that's fantastic. This is a lot of work. Like, you've been able to put it together in a year? I mean, this is fantastic.
Yes. We have people from all over the country coming to help do this, and they bring pieces of it from all over the country to bring it in. You know, we'll have people that are dressed up exactly in the high priest robes, of dressed up how Moses, you know, had the priest dressed up. This is what God told him in Exodus, and here's the colors, everything, and how we believe that this is what it looks like.
So it's going to be on the fairgrounds, is that correct?
Right on the fairgrounds. It sure is. It's going to be outside.
Okay.
Now, the tabernacle itself, okay, is a building, and I'm not going to use the cubits, but let me use feet.
For sure.
All right. So it's like 15 feet tall. Okay, and 15 feet wide and 45 feet long.
Okay,
now there's an outer court, and the outer court is 150 feet long by 75 feet. So it's a pretty big exhibit here. And inside, when God talks about the Holy of Holies, and that's where the ark is, it is a cube. So it's 15 foot by 15 foot by 15 foot. So we made it exactly to the right dimensions and how God said to put it in. We got the table of showbread. We got the altar of incense. You know, we had it all. Now, Ben, I'm going to be very blunt here.
Sure.
And I'm trying to build it the best I can. And in Exodus, it says to overlay it with gold. All right.
Now, how's that coming for you, Senator?
So we're using gold leaf.
Okay.
So when you go, if you say, wow, this isn't actual gold, okay, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be using gold leaf instead, all right?
I think people will understand.
Okay.
So I'm mesmerized about the thought of this and how it's all come together so quickly. I'm going to have to check this out. And if you don't care, what are the dates of the State Fair this year?
So it's going to be starting Thursday, the 15th at 5 o'clock, and it'll go all the way to the 24th, and that's a Saturday night. It'll end up at Saturday night.
Okay.
Now, Gary Chapman, okay, he was actually a songwriter here.
Yeah.
He's going to be coming to the last day, And he said God put something on his heart that he wants to perform the last day. So he's going to be coming there to perform like at 7:30 or something. So it's going to be kind of a special event for that. And once you're at the fair, everything's free. So there's no charge to come to this. There's no anything. Enjoy the fair. But stop by and see this. This should be an amazing opportunity.
I mean, and of course, Wilson County and the State Fair, they have a fair board, right? And
yes.
You went through, I'm sure you did some kind of presentation to them. And what was their reaction when they...
They wanted to be very cautious to say, we don't want a religious something at the state fair. So they don't want to promote one religion over
sure.
another. And I understand. But this is the historic. I mean, this is before you had anybody break off from anybody. I mean, this is just literally God and Moses. They just came out of Exodus. I mean, there was no Muslims. There was,
right.
Everybody was together.
Right.
And so this is an historical event of what happened. And to the best we can, this is building it exactly like that. And so there was only one religion at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely history. And you, I don't want to speak for you, but I know you're a faithful man. I've talked to you enough to know that you are a faithful man, and you're passionate about it. And I think that's great. But to have something like this comparable to what the Ark is, you know, in Kentucky, like you said, in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, where hundreds of thousands of people are going to be, I mean, they're going to learn here.
Yes.
And then there's that dynamic of learning more once they're there. They're going to go back and, was this really the right measure? They're going, you're going to have those people, right? You might have, I don't know if you have anybody pulling a measuring tape out while you're there, and a Fat Max or something, Stanley, but whatever. But this is really neat. I'm happy for you, and I know it's taken a team to get this together.
It is. There's hundreds of people involved in pulling this together, so we're just blessed that way.
So I think that's amazing, Senator. I've enjoyed your time here. Other than the transportation stuff coming up, you got anything coming up you're looking forward to? And we've talked about the tabernacle. We got about a minute left. Anything exciting coming up that we haven't discussed?
One quick thing.
Okay. Sure.
So as we're looking forward to the elections coming up in November, all right, I am really excited about what our country is going to be doing and making these steps. You know, one other thing we've been doing is we've been standing strong as Tennesseans for Israel.
Right.
And we've been trying to take very strong stance, even though that's a federal issue. We want Tennessee to stand for Israel at the same
sure.
time.
Sure. No, I get that. There's a lot of discussion about that right now, and I think that's great. Tennessee is still in the middle of the Bible Belt, middle of the religious spot, and just people come here mainly. I mean, I have neighbors that moved in from California because they felt like they could worship freely here, and I think it's great. But I appreciate everything you do in the legislature. I promise not to wear you out too much starting in January on that state and local Senate committee. But leads me to say this. I appreciate what you do for county government, city government, and for the local government, because they're the boots on the ground, right? They're where the rubber meets the road. Those people do great. So thank you for all you do.
And thank you for your service. Appreciate the show.
Thank you, Senator. I've had Senator Mark Pote here in studio here on Local Matters. This has been Rogers. It's been a great time with him. Look forward to having him back again really soon. Go to the Wilson County Fair, see the Tabernacle. Hope you have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day. I appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you next week.